even when you just think about consumption or distribution on platforms, like it's a huge coup that it's on Hulu and Prime Video. Because from a strategy perspective, from a reach perspective, instead of competing for the same eyeballs and the same small business audiences in traditional paid media that our competitors are, we are on a platform where businesses are actively choosing to spend at 30 minutes at a time per episode, spend that time with us.
Hi, my name is Sarah Panous. I've spent the last 2 decades driving digital content for billion-dollar brands. Now, I help content marketers build winning brand storytelling strategies and reduce feelings of overwhelm and confusion. Join me as we discuss strategy, creativity, confidence, and building a better connection with your audience. Think of this as a creative content marketing jam session mixed with chicken soup for the soul. This is the Marketing with Empathy podcast. All right, welcome back to part 2 of my conversation with Amanda Brinkman, the Chief Brand and Communications Officer at Deluxe Corporation. If you haven't yet listened to part 1, do it. Stop, listen to it right now, and then come back here. Amanda and I looked back at the making of her Emmy-worthy brand video series called Small Business Revolution at Deluxe Corporation. And if you, like I said, haven't listened, go there right now. And if you have already listened to it, you're in the right place. Don't go anywhere. In this episode, Amanda and I are going to look ahead and discuss learnings, measurement, and future implications. So as a reminder, Amanda is the creator, producer, and host of the Emmy-nominated reality series Small Business Revolution, showcasing her love for small towns and entrepreneurship by spearheading efforts to revitalize entire communities and provide makeovers to small businesses across America. So, hey, Amanda, what is, you know, your new season of Small Business Revolution just launched? What's this season going to be about?
So in the past 5 seasons, we've actually always focused on a different small town. So we've had a whole nomination process and voting process, and we've worked with some incredible smaller communities across the U.S. and just showing how important their small businesses are to their towns. But we're based in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Mm-hmm. So we actually decided to bring the Small Business Revolution home to Minneapolis and St. Paul. And instead of just focusing on one main street, as we have in past seasons, we're actually focusing on 6 different neighborhoods across the Twin Cities, and we're featuring all Black-owned businesses and entrepreneurs this season.
Oh my gosh, 6 different neighborhoods. That is ambitious, right? So was that a lot more work, or did it just net out to be the same, but just spread out 6 different areas?
It did. It definitely changed the working model of how we typically do it. But we did a lot of community listening right at the beginning. As soon as I felt compelled that we bring this back home and the team was on board and Deluxe was on board, I just started with a lot of community listening just to make sure, you know, the tonality of the show has always been really positive and uplifting, and you see the ripple effect within the communities. But, you know, Minneapolis and St. Paul has been kind of in the spotlight for a lot of things over the past 14 months and so, or 2 years now. It was just really important that we get this work right. So the 6 neighborhoods that we picked was informed by community listening. And it was also very important that we work with community leaders within each of those neighborhoods who really know the entrepreneurs within those neighborhoods. We always love to show what a different businesses can make on their communities. And this particular season, and these community leaders, you know who those businesses are. They know who the ones are who are not necessarily civic leaders or have a specific title, but they're those entrepreneurs that are really leading their community and actively involved. And so the community leadership was a really important part of it this year. Mm-hmm. And so it's 6 different neighborhoods. 3 are in Minneapolis and 3 are in St. Paul. And then we featured 1 business from each of those neighborhoods as well. And for us, it's just so rewarding to show what a difference economic empowerment can make. And when you invest in Black-owned businesses, the ripple effect that can have, not just for their family and for them personally and creating generational wealth, but also the ripple effect it can have within a neighborhood and a community, and how vital small businesses really are to our neighborhoods, which has always been, you know, the mission of this work.
Absolutely. Oh, I can't wait to watch. Sounds exciting. So now that you have 6 seasons under your belt, what do you see as like necessary elements to create a winning storytelling series that would be good advice for my listeners?
It's really about listening and really understanding what aspect of a story and what aspect, you know, human beings have this incredible need to not feel alone in their emotions or in their feelings or in their struggles. We have this nature. I think it's why we're seeing, you know, different things like political divides and things like that. People like to be around other people who agree with them because that affirmation is reassuring. And so I think when you're thinking about storytelling, it's about really, you could tell so many different aspects of a person's story, of an entrepreneur's story, of a man or a woman's story, but it's really about figuring out, you know, what really matters to your audience and what aspects of that can help create both empathy and understanding of that person's journey, but can also be something that resonates and engages the audience so that they're inspired by that story as well, either inspired to action, inspired to empathy, inspired to, you know, being a self-starter around something. And so I think it's just really about going back to those kind of core human fundamentals of this need for affirmation and really understanding how a story can inspire.
What if I told you I have a solution to improve your existing team's brand storytelling skills without having to add new headcount? How to work with who you have to make your team killer teammates and employees. A solution to advance your careers by teaching you how to humanize your brand for stronger results faster. A way to prove to your internal audience that what you do matters to grow your budget. Helping you with simplified messaging so you can get ahead without overthinking. Today's episode of Marketing with Empathy is brought to you by just such a solution, the Brand Storytelling Academy. Brand Storytelling Academy is the signature program I designed to help B2C and nonprofit brands level up their internal team's story marketing prowess, giving you the confidence and brand storytelling skills and frameworks you need to advance in your career and focus on what matters to 7x new and repeat engagement through empathy and data-driven storytelling plans. Storytelling drives business results. It does. I spent 20 years working inside corporate and agencies, leading various forms of content strategy for billion-dollar brands, helping drive leading ROI through brand storytelling. Using my learnings and my signature EFD method, I personally help train you and your team in the Brand Storytelling Academy. I'm offering your brand a way to make more money through a storytelling mastermind for 5 months. It's virtual. You can sign up for a fraction of what it costs to hire an actual person on the team, and you can have up to 4 people from your company join me. Think of it like a college certification program for your team, but you'll get all the knowledge a lot quicker. Plus, your classmates are your colleagues, plus marketing pros from up to 3 other brands. So you get to hear and learn from each other week to week in addition to hearing from me and guest experts. Curious? Fill out the application to learn more at kindredspeak.com/apply, and we'll chat to see if you're a good fit. As a bonus, just for applying, I'll give you a free 30-minute consultation call with me too. No strings attached. Go to kindredspeak.com/apply. That's kindredspeak.com/apply. In my experience, casting the right people is often like the biggest hurdle. Like once you find them and you find that story, then it's just a matter of production. So what advice do you have to help other brands find great heart-centered stories from people who will also be good on camera? Because you guys have done a really nice job with that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we've tried to take a really soft and authentic approach to the casting. And it's always funny because people use the word casting a lot, as one would. That would be the term for it. And it's so funny. We just have never used that term when we think about selecting the businesses, because we truly try to make it, you know, we interview the businesses. There's always, every year, there's a different way businesses can apply. And then we meet with them and we narrow it down. We go to visit their businesses. We then bring them in for interviews. And we're really asking just as many questions about their business needs to see if their transformation will be inspiring and educational to other businesses. We're asking, to your point, just as many questions about kind of their personal story to see if something will resonate. And I think the project has just kind of been blessed from the beginning. It's either the way we're asking the questions or it's just the serendipity of it all. But, you know, we usually are able to get to the heart of what aspect of that business owner's story will resonate with others and be inspiring. And so, but at the same time, like we've also said, we could have picked any of the businesses. You know, each year we get like 200 businesses that apply.
Wow.
Every small business story is inspiring for a different reason. So I think it was one of those no-lose situations. Like I think we love all the businesses that we've selected over the course of the work. You know, there's nearly 40 businesses that have been featured on the show. But I don't think we could have gone wrong if we would have picked a different one of them that had applied either. So
it's great. It's very authentic in how it comes across. Okay. So now I want to talk results. I know in the first part of our discussion, you shared all the amazing like media coverage and 10 billion, I think you said, impressions so far and counting. And there's a lot of results with the company, but can you talk a little bit more about what business results that the show is helping to drive for Deluxe?
Yeah, it's really hard to measure. I'll be very honest about that. So even when you just think about consumption or distribution on platforms, like it's a huge coup that it's on Hulu and Prime Video.
Yeah.
Because from a strategy perspective, from a reach perspective, instead of competing for the same eyeballs and the same small business audiences in traditional paid media that our competitors are, we are on a platform where businesses are actively choosing to spend 30 minutes at a time per episode. They're actively choosing to watch it. It isn't something that's interrupting what they want to be doing. It is the thing they want to be doing and the thing that they're watching. And so the power of that is almost immeasurable. But by very nature of that, it's you can't cross over measurement from an OTT platform to a website, for example, or to an 800 number. So we can ask people, you know, how did you hear about Deluxe? And maybe they'll say SBR, and we get that a lot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, you literally can't kind of track it all the way from one of those platforms to did that then, you know, incentivize them to go online. There are some cookies and different things that we can do that are related to if people have interacted with the banner or a trailer online or things like that. We use a lot of social in our paid amplification of the show. So we can try and measure things like that. But from an actual episode view to a website purchase is a pretty hard funnel to measure. So I have tried to manage expectations around that from the very beginning. And then there's other things we do from a brand awareness perspective, and we measure awareness of products and services and overall brand awareness and things like that. And so we've certainly seen that move in the right directions for the right categories over time, but I don't have a magic answer. It isn't, this kind of work is really hard to measure, and that's the hardest part. I think we talked about this in the first episode, but I think that's why more brands don't make bold bets. They can see it when I share this case study, like that makes so much sense. But how would I ever sell that at my company? Because we can't measure it in the same way. So
yes. Which is why I think it's so important to share these stories with each other, because we can look at like, hey, look at what Deluxe is doing. It worked really well. I've talked with so many other brands on this podcast about how impactful brand storytelling has been, which is why I'm so passionate, because I've seen it drive top ROI for brands even. There's just so much potential of how we can keep leaning into this old format of like storytelling, like you've said before, right? Where it's storytelling is as old as time of how we've communicated. We just need to get back into that and to lean into that connection point with folks, which will drive action, which is beautiful.
Well, we just have to trust our guts. Like it makes sense. Like if it makes sense to us that these stories will resonate or that doing something good will resonate, let's just take that bet. Again, we've become too metrics oriented. And as marketers, we have to be the bold ones. If we don't push for doing this kind of work, I can assure you the other departments are not going to push for us to do this work. So if we're not advocating for it, no one's going to come asking this of us. And as the marketing function, we are the heart of the organization. We understand we're the closest to the customers in terms of insight and feedback and understanding who they are. And so we need to be the ones driving, you know, kind of that narrative around what matters to them and how we can participate in their lives beyond selling them things.
Yes.
I don't think brands are talking about this quite a bit now. And I love that, but we're not seeing as many brands take action on it, which is this concept of, you know, like doing good in the world. And it's, I think SBR is a great example of like, this is good for business and it is good for small businesses. I don't think every brand has to be alleviating poverty or solving the world water crisis or, you know, there is something that your brand can make a difference in that's going to matter to your customers, that makes sense for the kind of business that you're in. And when you can find that and then weave it in to your brand message, it's just really powerful. I mean, we're just standing behind giant megaphones as companies and brands. We're spending money talking about something, and we can choose whether or not that's just about us and selling things, or if there's a way to advocate for something bigger alongside that.
Oh, I totally agree. I often say brands are the new editor in chief. There's so much. We have the budget, we have the team, we have the will, right? Like, so there's just so much opportunity as brands to be these publishers out there that are doing well and doing good. Okay. So I consider the work you're doing at Deluxe as gold standard, honestly, in the brand storytelling space. So of course, I'm curious, are there any other strategies or formats that you'd like to consider more in the years ahead?
I love, you and I were talking about this earlier, like podcasts are really powerful. I think podcasts can be really effective for content capture because when you're capturing a podcast, you can actually be knocking out four different content categories. So you can be recording the actual podcast. If you record it by video, you can create video clips of it or just a long format. Some people prefer to watch two people talking and not just listen. So you can create, parallel content that way. You can create great social clips from it by having different quotes and pulling different things out, much like what you do with your work. You do a great job with your podcast. Like, it provides this opportunity to create all of these different assets just from one content capture.
Yeah.
And the investment in podcasting is just lower than some of the other content capture. So I think podcasting is really, really interesting. I think the challenge is that there's just so many podcasts. How do you stand out? But that's the challenge in every other category too, right?
Yeah. And the other beautiful thing with podcasting for brands too, it's just like your unscripted series where people are voluntarily tuning in to listen and watch for half an hour or more. It's the same thing with a podcast. You know, people are voluntarily saying they're going to listen, and it's a really great way to know, kind of understand the personality behind the brand. Like, what do you stand for? What do you believe in? And that'll come through in like the format and the discussions and the dialogue that you have. So I love that for podcasts, and there's just so much opportunity, even down to sales work. There's so much with podcasting. So I'm with you on that one. I love podcasting. I think it's a huge opportunity for brands as well. Okay. So before we wrap up, is there anything else I should ask you about, but I haven't yet? I know we've covered a lot.
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. I think people are always curious about kind of the co-host strategy of it. So in the first two seasons, my co-host, or people ask a lot, like, why have you switched co-hosts throughout the years? So in the first two seasons of the show, my co-host was Robert Hirschovac from Shark Tank. And that's because right out of the gate, and he was fantastic, but right out of the gate, it was really important for us that people, when they see the show photography or they hear about the show, that they associate it with the entrepreneurial space. And so, you know, Shark Tank is one of the highest rated entrepreneurial shows. Entrepreneurs watch it, you know, disproportionately. And so we felt like by having that recognizable face from Shark Tank, that would help people read this show as for entrepreneurs right away. But then that we were really getting the entrepreneurial crowd that was working. And then we thought, let's continue to expand our audience and let's, you know, really resonate with people who love just great makeover shows. And every year we were trying to do something a little bit different creatively too. So every year we evolved things just a little bit or changed something. And so in moving into season three, we decided to make a co-host switch. And we switched to Ty Pennington, who a lot of people recognize from Extreme Home Makeover, or like when I was in college, he was very popular in Trading Spaces. And so he read kind of the makeover show piece. And then for season six, and he was fantastic too. And so he really helped with the physical renovations. Robert focused more on the finances. Ty focused more on the physical renovations. And then for season six, my co-host was Baron Davis, who is a former NBA All-Star turned entrepreneur. He does so much stuff in the entrepreneurial space to invest in businesses as well as runs a lot of businesses himself. And he just had such a heart for not just the mission behind the work this year, but certainly the particular entrepreneurs that we were selecting. And he was really personally just invested in helping these entrepreneurs. It was really beautiful. So we've really lucked out with three different great co-hosts. And it has helped, you know, kind of get, you know, some of that earned media attention. But what's been really beautiful is that they've all been, you know, once they've been involved, they were really moved by just how authentic this work really was. And they were just wonderful to work with.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for that extra insight. It's interesting to hear, like, yeah, the why and the how and kind of the thought process that went into that. Okay, so tell us again then, like, how can people connect with you and how can they find the Small Business Revolution show?
They can find it on Hulu or Prime Video. And if you don't have one of those OTT platforms, it streams online as well. And it's at smallbusinessrevolution.org.
Beautiful. And then what about you, Amanda? How can people find you online?
I'm very active in social media. So my handle is at Amanda K. Brinkman. The K is important. So at Amanda K. Brinkman. And my favorite platform is probably Instagram, but I'm on Twitter and Facebook with a public page as well.
Oh, perfect. Well, thank you so much. We did it. We got all of our questions in this awesome Rack and two-part series. Thank you so much, Amanda, for hopping on with me to talk through all of your incredible insights and success.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Well, everyone, I hope you enjoyed this two-part interview with Amanda Brinkman from Deluxe Corporation. I will put all the links that we just talked about for the show and Amanda's channels in my show notes so you can check that out. In case you're driving right now and don't have a chance to write it down, no problem. I got you covered. And remember, if you're a content marketer that's looking for brand storytelling, creative inspiration, and tips and support, head on over to my website at kindredspeak.com to sign up for my weekly brand storytelling newsletter. Until next time, Kindred Speakers. High fives for finishing another episode. When faced with an obstacle, you're the type of person who gets better instead of bitter. I hope you feel creatively inspired and invite you to check back often for more goodness from me and my guest. If you want more actionable advice and inspiration, head over to kindredspeak.com for show notes, all discount codes from today's episode, and to sign up for my newsletter. Subscribe now to the Marketing with Empathy podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you get your podcast. And if you'd be so kind, will you please leave me a review? This helps my podcast get noticed by others. Keep smiling.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Heiler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.